I want to thank you all for coming this evening. I am Dorothy David. I am the Assistant City Manager for the City of Champaign. On behalf of our mayor, our city council, and City Manager Steve Carter, I want to welcome everyone to this conversation with the candidates. This event is the first of its kind, an opportunity for members of our community to hear from four finalists for the position of Chief of Police with our city. The city has had the pleasure of working with a number of community agencies who have graciously agreed to host this evening's conversation. I want to take an opportunity to acknowledge and thank the local chapters of the League of Women Voters, the NAACP, the ACLU, and the Champaign Human Relations Commission and Champaign Community and Police Partnership for all of their support. I would be remiss not to give special thanks to the members of our planning committee who worked diligently to plan the details of this event, NAACP President Patricia Avery, NAACP Representative Michelle Cooper, ACLU Representative Diana Lennick, and League of Women Voters Representative Debbie Rugg. It is now my extreme pleasure to introduce our moderator for this evening, Dr. Sandra Cato. A Chicago native, Dr. Cato has dedicated her professional career to helping others. Upon receiving her Bachelor of Arts in Psychology from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, she worked extensively as a social worker and clinical therapist helping children and families. She later received her Master of Arts degree in clinical psychology from Roosevelt University and her Doctorate of Philosophy degree from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign in education, specializing in organization and leadership. Dr. Cato has served as the director of Upward Bound College Prep Academy at the University of Illinois since 1993. Dr. Cato has volunteered as a member of the University of Illinois Black Alumni Association Board for 15 years, and she currently enjoys volunteering with Alzheimer's patients and community organizations representing those who have been marginalized in society. She has served as a volunteer with the local NAACP for 6 years and is currently chair of their Legal Redress Committee. Please join me in a very warm welcome for Dr. Sandra Cato.
Thank you, Ms. David. Good evening. It is my pleasure to serve as the moderator for this evening's historical event. Again, this event, a conversation with the candidates, is the first of its kind in Champaign, and we are honored to be a part of it. We give special thanks to the four finalists, the City of Champaign for hosting us tonight, and to the community for collaborating with us by submitting your questions via email and participating in the community meeting Cafe Etiquette on Monday, December 5th. We received a number of great questions. However, due to our time constraints, we will only be able to ask a cross-section of the questions. This evening, the community will have an opportunity to hear from the four candidates seeking the position of Champaign Chief of Police. The Chief of Police finalists will each participate one at a time during this time. The other finalists will be sequestered so that they are not in a position to view or listen to the conversation being held between the moderator and the candidate in the chambers. The candidates have pulled numbers to determine the order of the conversations. Each candidate will be allowed a 3-minute opening statement. I will then ask the candidates a series of 11 questions that were prepared by the planning committee based on the input we received from the community. The candidates will each respond to the same questions, and they have not received the questions in advance. At the conclusion of the question and answer period, each candidate will be provided 2 minutes for closing remarks. Each conversation is expected to take no longer than 30 minutes. We thought it would be prudent to provide our audience with a snapshot of what the city has indicated as important with respect to the position of chief of police. The ideal, and it reads as such, this is from the city. The ideal candidate will have experience in and demonstrated commitment to inclusive police and community relations, community-oriented policing, intergovernmental relations, community problem-solving, excellent interpersonal and communication skills, team leadership ability, a participative management style, and the ability to work with diverse groups and individuals. The following values guide our work: personal integrity, responsibility, respect, teamwork, results. Without further delay, let's welcome and bring out the first candidate, Anthony Cobb. Candidate Cobb, and we'll get, that's your water, and if you could make sure that your mic is on.
I think so.
Thank you. Okay, beautiful.
Good evening. My name is Anthony Cobb, and I got 3 minutes to try to introduce myself to you. And the best way I can do that is to say, who is Anthony Cobb? I am the grandson of Nettie and Dexter Claiborne, who moved to Champaign, city of Champaign in the 1930s. I am the son of Dolores and Ezel Derricks. I am the second oldest of 5 boys who was raised in a single-parent home when my father divorced my mom and abandoned my family when I was 6 years old. I am a product of public aid. I'm a product of Champaign Public Schools, attended Booker T. Washington School, Jefferson Middle School, Centennial High School. I am currently the Assistant Chief of Police in the city of Urbana. I was the Urbana Police Department's first community policing officer. I helped to develop, implement a community policing program that shaped the strategies and philosophies of the community policing approach that is currently being used by the city of Urbana Police Department. I am a former detective, school resource officer, juvenile officer, and I still continue to speak with young people throughout our community today. I was a shift sergeant, a division commander. I've worked in all divisions at the Urbana Police Department. I am a member of the Church of the Living God, where Bishop Lloyd Gwynn is my pastor. I am a proud father of Troy and Miles Cobb, who are students at Urbana High School and Middle School. I have mentored young men in this community for over 20 years, and I am currently working with a young man who is a junior at Central High School. Started working with this young man when he was in the third grade at Thomas Paine Elementary School in Urbana. I've coached high school football at Urbana High School. I've coached baseball through first string for multiple seasons. I have umpired little league games and refereed upward basketball games for multiple seasons. I am Anthony Cobb. I am from this community. I am a part of this community, and I care about this community. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Candidate Cobb. The candidates will have 2 minutes to respond to each of the following questions. What in your background prepares you to be the Champaign Chief of Police?
As I stated in my introduction, who I am and where I'm from, that all started to prepare me for this position. My 19 years with the Urbana Police Department has been very instrumental in helping me prepare for the challenges that our community now faces at Champaign Police Department. I have a wonderful background as far as doing work within the union at the Urbana Police Department, was elected by the members and rank and file there and served in union capacity. I've been in leadership at the Urbana Police Department for a little more than 13 years now, as far as being a shift sergeant, working my way up to my current positions as Assistant Chief of Police. I have extensive backgrounds in dealing with internal investigation, dealing with contract negotiations, dealing with internal discipline and strife. I'm a product of this community, as I already stated, and because I'm a product of the community, I have ties with the community, vested relationships already established that are going to be beneficial and very instrumental as we move forward in dealing with issues facing the Champaign Police Department.
Thank you, Candidate Cobb. What will you do to change and improve relationships and trust between the department and the African-American community?
Well, first, if hired to be the chief of police in the city of Champaign, I'm going to bring credibility to the position right off the bat. And the reason why I feel that I'm going to do that is because those of you who know me, worked with me and know me for my stint since I've been here in the city of Urbana, understand my philosophy when it comes to how I approach and deal with citizens and work with our community. I like to be transparent. I think it's important as a chief to be transparent and be accountable. I need to be accessible to the public and to the people. In order to do that, you got to see me. I got to be at functions. I need to be visible. I need to be at the churches. I need to be in the community. I should be at the basketball games, football games, and give people a chance to interact with me. Recognize you got a lot of issues to take on, you got a lot of issues to tackle. And I'm not going to have all the answers nor the solutions. The Champaign Police Department is not going to have all the answers or solutions. We're going to need everyone at the table working constantly. All of you that are sitting here, you're part of the solution. And you're going to have to work with us and partner with us. Probably going to be some mistakes along the way. I recognize that right off the bat. But if there are, we need to be open and honest and own them. And as we own them, we need to correct them. We need to start healthy dialogues to really looking at what are the problems within our police department, what are the problems within our community, and to take those challenges on.
Thank you. Explain your understanding of the federal Secure Communities program and your opinion of this initiative.
The Federal Secure Communities program is a federally enacted program in which it was designed to get illegal immigrants who commit felonies or who are felons who commit crimes in our community deported out of our community so that they could not prey upon our society. I understand the concern that several people have in our community when it comes to this issue because the intent of why it was created has not always been a practice in which it's been used within our community. There's been occasions where illegal immigrants who are in this community who have been arrested for misdemeanor offenses have been subject to deportation as a result of this. The biggest solution to this problem, in my opinion, is going to have to be a legislative solution. I think there can be some dialogue between the law enforcement community and concerned members of the community about that, but recognize from a police officer perspective, I will want police officers to be fair, professional, and consistent in their approach to dealing with issues. And that's regardless of race, sex, creed, religion, you pick it, I would want the officer to handle the situation the same way. And if we're talking about suspended driver's license, the example I keep getting a lot from citizens mm-hmm. is if someone who is of illegal status, who get stopped operating a vehicle with their license suspended, they run a chance of possibly being deported if they're arrested for it. But suspended license is a arrestable offense in the state of Illinois. And if the status in the city of Champaign is that we're arresting people who have suspended license, regardless of sex, race, creed, religion, this and that, then I want the officer to enforce it consistently. I recognize the consequences for someone could be far more severe than the actual arrest. And the best analogy I can give you, take a DUI, for example. Yeah. If someone is arrested for a DUI, if you keep driving under influence, that's a very – I got to stop. I got timer here.
I'm sorry. Thank you. How important – is it to rebuild the morale of the police department?
Huge, very important. That's going to be one of the biggest challenges facing the new chief coming in. Recognize there are a lot of issues that the community is concerned about. There's a lot of things that the employees of the department is concerned about. And if a new chief truly wants to be successful in this community, he has to get buy-in not only from the community, but from the department. And that's going to be huge. And recognize as the new chief, all of the candidates, we're outsiders. Yeah, I'm homegrown, and I'm from here, and I know a lot of people here, know a lot of people in the department, but I'm still not that department. And I'm going to have to go in there and pay some dues as a chief, and I'm going to have to go in there and mend some bridges and make some relationships and do some things to get buy-in from the rank and file there. That's going to be a challenge any chief's going to have to face and be prepared to deal with. So that's very huge.
Thank you. African Americans make up 16% of the driving public in Champaign. Mm-hmm. The 2010 Illinois Department of Transportation report shows that they comprise 34% of all stops in Champaign. How would you address the apparent racial disparity in traffic stops?
Well, when it comes to traffic stops, we've had similar issues in the city of Urbana, and we're starting to break down our numbers and look at it and account for it a lot better. I think I need to put some accountability and some checks and balance in place. Traffic stops in both communities are audio and video recorded. I can't speak specifically for the city of Champaign, but I think it is the case. But I know in the city of Urbana, that's a requirement. They have to be audio and video recorded. If the equipment in the car is not working in the city of Urbana, we actually take the car out of service because we want these stops recorded. The reason why we want to record it so we can go back and look at them. We want to have supervisors to continue to vet and look through the process and make sure we're doing everything above board. A lot of times with the camera system are set up, we can see some of the actual offenses as they occur. It gives us a chance to make sure the officers are being professional in their conduct and doing things and making sure we're consistent in our enforcement. We look at all the data as it comes in. So there's going to be some vetting process that needs to be done. And if City of Champaign's not doing it, I'll be looking to put things in place like that. I'm going to have to become very versed in the IDOT traffic studies as well as other types of stops that are made by the department. I need to understand what the officers are doing and why they're doing it and require them to articulate why and give reasonable suspicion or probable cause depending on the nature of the stop for why they're doing it. And if they cannot articulate and explain to satisfaction that meets public standard, department standards, and that, hold them accountable for the actions that they take.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about a citizen review board?
If you guys go back and look at the videotapes when Urbana went and looked into building a citizen police review board, you will find I was very involved in that process. You'll also find when I was very involved in that process, I was the union president. I said it then, and I'll say it again. A citizen police review board could be a good thing if done correctly. In order to do it correctly, it's going to take both sides, the citizens and the police, to sit down and truly tackle what are the issues we're trying to address. The best way, in my opinion, to do that is one, we got to get emotion out of it. We got to get cooler heads at the table and look at and see what are the issues. Once the heads get there, I would encourage you to do a strength assessment of the department. What is it that they do well? Believe it or not, there are some things that Champaign Police Department does well. There are some things every department does well. Find those things. What do we want to maintain about it? What can we improve upon? What are the things that our community is upset about and would like to see change? And then what is the best process to go about it? Yes, look at things that happen on a national level and look at things that happen in other communities and see what can we do to guard against it. But don't put that on the backs of our officers if that's not a problem within your community. Unfortunately, in Urbana, in my opinion, I don't think we got that right. And I think we harped and we did a lot of different things when it came to our Citizen Police Review Board, and we ended up butting heads a little bit. We got a good Citizen Police Review Board, but it's an oversight board. There's a lot more I would love to see that board be able to do to really help strengthen conversation and dialogue between the police and the community. If you take the time and craft it and do it right, it could be a great thing. But if you don't, it could be a waste of time.
Thank you, Candidate Cobb. How do you feel about a residency requirement for officers?
Residency requirements, I know that's an issue within the community. I do think it's important for officers to be a part of the community and to take stock in the community. Are there other ways that can be done outside of residency? Yes. Recognize police officers are human too, and they're just like all other citizens, and they have their rights just like we do. We have a right as citizens to choose where we want to live at and how we live and how we want to recreate when we're within the law. I would ask that people be receptive to the officers' rights to some degree. But at the same token, there's things that I think as a department head, as a chief of police, that can be done to encourage officers, if you truly want to move forward in this department, if you truly want to move up in this department, there are things you may want to consider as far as investing in this community. I think there's policy and things of that nature that can be done to encourage those who want to advance and do different things. Taking stock in the community in some fashion, do you necessarily have to live here in order to do that? I don't necessarily think so. I can think of several people who are very active and very vital to this community who don't live in this community. But this is home for them, and they'll do anything they can for it and live and pretty much love and pretty much will die for this community. And officers are no different.
Thank you. There have been several high-profile police incidents over the last few years that have created concern in the community. These include an incident involving the use of pepper spray and a shooting death by an officer. What steps will you take to reduce community anger and fear to repair the harm done to police-community relations?
Well, the first thing I think is going to be incumbent upon a new chief is to get buy-in immediately from within the department, from outside the department. It has to be a multi-pronged approach. I think it's going to be apparent for the new chief to be accessible and be visible and to be out in the community and truly to be the department head and the leader, not only in name but also in face for the organization. It's going to be imperative for the command staff to take on the ownership and the leadership and also be accessible and be visible. It's going to take a little bit to repair and deal with some issues within the department and to unite the department. You guys read the articles. You know there are a lot of issues. There's a lot of things are going on within the department that's going to have to be dealt with inside the department. And as we're addressing them and dealing with those things, I'll ask the community to be supportive of the agency, be encouraging to the agency, because recognize as all these things occurred, as far as all the negative things we read in the press, the day-to-day operation of the agency has never stopped. I have not heard of any 911 call that didn't get answered. I have not heard of a citizen who had a problem or issue, and when they called the police weren't there. So the men and women of the Champaign Police Department are doing their job, and they've been doing it daily, and they're going to continue to do their job. But at the same token, morale is very low, and there's some issues going to have to be dealt with to lift morale, to lift officers, to retool and retrain so that we can respond appropriately and deal with the issue. But we're going to have to find ways to get officers reengaged and back connected with the community, interacting with the community, partnering with the community so that we can collaborate and work together to fix the issues within our community.
Thank you, Candidate Cobb. Tell us about successful interactions, experiences, or programs that you have been involved with that make you confident that you can earn respect and build trust with community youth.
Okay. As being here most of my adult life, I've had several interactions with different community groups, different individuals, different young people on multiple levels, whether it be personal or professional, where I've had the opportunity to engage, to be engaged, to speak very candidly about issues that happen within our community. Just right before Thanksgiving, that opportunity to go over to Ready School and interact with a group of young men who had some questions about things that were going on in our community and had some concern. And trust me, they weren't happy to talk to the police, and they knew I was coming. But the thing was, after spending 30 minutes with them to really listen to them, engage in their conversation, they actually started to wake up, perk up a little bit, and really hit me with some tough questions. Those are healthy dialogues that need to happen, need to continue to happen, not just at the chief level, but at all levels. It's always nice to have engaging conversation when I run into people in the community. It's always nice to have engaging conversation with students on the campus. I've been invited to African-American Cultural Center on more than a number of occasions to talk with students about issues and things that they see within the community. I've had many opportunities to be present and speak at different classes within Urbana High School and Middle School, the churches, department functions, all type of things. So that's part of that transparency we're talking about.
Thank you. What should be the standard criteria for the use of force, for the use of force policy, and what type of training is needed to ensure that officers apply force properly?
I think when you look at policy, a lot of times you'll find policy to be appropriate. in a lot of different ways. I think it boils down to interpretation of policy is going to be the issue that we're going to have to deal with in accountability. I think as a police department, as a chief of police, I'm going to have to be in tune to what is the direction I'm getting from the council. Well, I need to back up. What does the law say we can do? You got a lot of incidents here recently where the law says one thing and the community is not happy with what the law says and want to see things differently. Understand that. But when you understand what the law says, understand what your community morality point is, understand what the makeup of your community, all that stuff has to merge into how you make good policy and how you deal with things, how you hold people accountable. I can't really get into the incident as far as what happened with the pepper spray, and I'm sure people want to talk about, and a reason why I can't really get into that as a candidate for the police chief, recognize I could be a decision maker on that, and it's not prudent for me to speak about that or do anything like that or speak about it, considering I can be an ultimate decision maker. But I will say it's a learning opportunity. It's a learning opportunity from all sides, learning opportunity for officers to look at. One thing, we know that the community was outraged by what they saw there. That has been noted in the press. From looking at it, we also know it's very concerning to our community, and that's a good, huge training point when you look at it and talk about it. But also we need to look at the interaction from both sides, the officer as well as the citizen. Is that the way, as an African-American community, we would want our citizens to interact with the police? Is there things that our young people can learn from that contact? And I hope we use it as a teaching opportunity to look at it from multiple different ways and deal with it. But when you look at the use of force policy as a whole, it's going to require some work, it's going to require some dialogue, it's going to require a lot of conversation between the new chief and the community to figure out what is going to be the policy and then how we're going to hold people accountable to it. But the big part is holding people accountable to what we decide is the rule, the right way.
Thank you. This is your final question.
Okay.
Would you support implementation of cultural and linguistic training as part of the department's training plan?
Yes. I guess I expound a little bit. We live in a very diverse community. We have a lot of different cultures. With the university being here and an international student program, they bring a lot of different dynamics and cultures to the community. We're blessed and fortunate to have this repertoire of people coming through our community. I know probably with the question is probably getting more at the Latino population. We do have a lot of migrant workers who come here and help to tassel corn and process corn, and they spend a lot of time in our community making sure officers are well-versed and trained and competent so that they can interact and provide service to other populations who may not be very versed in English. It's something that we need to look in and invest in and make sure we can provide aid. I know in the city of Urbana, we dealt with issues where we had a lot of our immigrant workers been targeted by some young men who were trying to rob them. And language was the reason why they went after them. They knew they didn't speak English. And if I can rip you off and take your wallet before you can communicate to the police that I did it, I can be a long way away from there. So that becomes an issue. And even though you may not be in this country legally, it doesn't mean we should allow you to be victimized and allow people to take advantage of you. As a police officer, we all have a duty to serve all citizens and all people, and that's part of our charge.
Thank you. At this time, we invite you to provide us with closing comments for 2 minutes.
Okay. I'll try to keep this short. I'd like to thank the City of Champaign for this opportunity to come and address you and speak with you. I think those of you that know me and those of you who haven't had the opportunity to meet me, I look forward to being able to work, be open, to be engaging with you. Recognize as we embark, and if I'm selected to be the chief of police, we have some challenging times ahead of us, and it's going to require a lot of people to work together, to collaborate, to put a lot of sweat equity into this situation to resolve issues. With that said, I'm committed to do my part, but I'm going to need all citizens to be committed to do their part. There's a lot of tough dialogues we need to have about what we want our police department to look like and what we want our community to look like. And it's going to take each and every one of you to be part of that solution. I think the men and women of the Champaign Police Department are up for the challenge and will love to have the opportunity to work with you. There's going to be a few things we're going to have to work through ahead of time, but I think that can happen. They're highly paid professionals, and they will be expected to be professionals. And as a police chief, it'd be my job to hold them accountable and make sure they do their part. I'm willing to take on that challenge and do that, but I'm going to ask the community to do their part and support us and help us. And from there, we can make a better community. Thank you.
May we please welcome our second candidate, candidate Gregory J. Anderson. You may begin, Candidate Anderson, with your opening statement.
Thank you, Dr. Cato. Hello, everybody. My name is Gregory Anderson. I'd like to start out by saying I'm extremely humbled and honored to be considered as a police chief candidate for the city of Champaign. Both me and my family are extremely excited about the potential of being part of the Champaign community and also making Champaign our home. Over the next 30 minutes, I'm sure I'm going to get an opportunity to talk to you about my law enforcement background, for those of you that aren't familiar with it. So I just wanted to take a few minutes to kind of talk to you as to how I came to the decision to come to Champaign. When the position opening occurred and it was posted, it caused me to do a double take. I took a long, hard look at it. The reason for that is the Champaign Police Department has an outstanding reputation with other law enforcement agencies throughout the state of Illinois. That was really my first criteria that I had to take a look at. Then I had to take a look at the community to see if this is a place that me and my family wanted to come live. I started to do a lot of research. Of course, I looked at everything online that I possibly could. I started following information in the newspapers, the News Gazette online. I watched all the television stories from the local television stations, and really began to take a good hard look at it and really consider it. What sold me on coming to Champaign and applying for this position, in September, I came down to the Champaign Community and Police Partnership meeting that they had to talk about the attributes of the police for a police chief. I was extremely excited and to hear the comments that the people made about the attributes that they wanted to have for a police chief: a good communicator, somebody with a strong budget background, somebody that was going to hold people accountable, strong leadership attributes. That's really what made me decide that the excitement that the community showed and the involvement that they have done was outstanding. And I would also like to add that the City of Champaign needs to be thanked for their opportunity. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I'll begin with the questions. And again, you have 2 minutes to respond to each question. What in your background, Candidate Anderson, prepares you to be the Champaign Chief of Police?
Well, I have been a police chief for over 4 years now. Mm-hmm. I have an experience of being an outside police chief before. I'm currently the Chief of Police in Oak Forest. I have a lot of experience on what it takes to come into a new police department and make programs successful, and how to be able to take a look at specific programs, what value that they have in the organization, and take a look at those. Do they fall within certain budget restraints and those types of things? I also have a very strong community policing and problem-oriented policing background. I have a steeped history on working with the community, communicating with the community, and being inclusive with the community in providing police services.
Thank you. What will you do to change and improve relationships and trust between the department and the African American community?
Well, I won't single out the African American community alone, because I believe that as police chief, it's important for me to serve everybody in the city exactly the same. One of the things that I had talked about as part of my interview processes today was I would institute immediately a monthly meet the chief meeting open forum with the chief of police. on a regular basis, on a monthly basis. I would have a set time and date and locations where I would meet, and the residents would be available to come and talk to me at any time. In other words, they'd have a free shot at the chief of police. And I would not only use that to gain input from the residents, but I would also use that to be able to talk to the residents about what's happening in the police community, why the police department does certain things. You have to be very strong and community-oriented. You have to listen to people. You have to work with community groups. You have to address their concerns. It's just, you just cannot police in this community. One of my favorite sayings from Sir Robert Peel back in the 1820s is, the police are the public and the public are the police. And the police department is only as strong as the community that you serve, and we have to serve together.
Thank you. Explain your understanding of the federal Secure Communities program and your opinion of this initiative.
Well, the Secure Communities program was originally, and it actually is, the program is designed to remove violent criminals and people that have excessive immigration violations from the community. Mm-hmm. That's the intent of the program. For some communities, that certainly does work. I support the Secure Communities program, and the effect is that we need to take the worst offenders out of our community. I believe that we have to use whatever tools that we can to keep our community safe, that we have to use what, and if it means reporting them to ICE, I have no issue with that. I'm not necessarily comfortable with somebody that only commits a minor violation being held for an extended period of time and having to go through a rigorous procedure process. I think that wastes a lot of law enforcement resources. Jail space and those types of things. I do believe that this is a federal issue, though, that this really is not a local law enforcement issue. I do believe that the federal government does need to get off the snide, if I can say it that way, and actually has to make a decision of exactly what direction they want to go with immigration enforcement.
Thank you. How important is it to rebuild the morale of the police department?
Well, I have to say you're starting with a premise that the morale at the police department is bad. Some of the people that I've talked to in the police department, I don't necessarily get that indication. But it is definitely important that the police department, that we are part of the city government, that we are part of the community, and that we have to police as part of the community. I do believe that the next police chief does need to foster cooperation between everybody in the law enforcement profession, mm-hmm. not only within our police department, but also other adjacent communities. And I have a very open and communicating type of style. I'm a teamwork type of a police chief. I believe involving in a lot of people in the processes. I think by doing that and including people rather than just passing down orders all the time, I think we'll add for the inclusiveness to the police department.
Thank you. African Americans make up 16% of the driving public in Champaign. The 2010 Illinois Department of Transportation report shows that they comprise 34% of all stops in Champaign. How would you address the apparent racial disparity in traffic stops?
First of all, I believe you actually have to take a look at the data specifically to find out what has occurred. Generally, people are going to get stopped in the neighborhood that they live in. And the police are going to provide the majority of the resources in the area where there's the most crime. When you're just using a general term of 34% for the entire city of Champaign, is that because more police resources are used or are being focused in an African-American community, for example, because of a high crime rate? Are you actually taking a look at that? There very well may be a disparity there that you have to take a look at, but I'm hesitant to make a decision that there's any type of an issue until you actually delve down into the data a lot closer to actually take a look at exactly what's causing it. In my experience in the city of Aurora, I work very closely with African-American neighborhood groups. They insisted that we provide a lot of extra patrol in their neighborhoods and supported us when we did actually a lot of traffic stops in their neighborhoods trying to prevent crime and disorder issues in their neighborhoods. So that number, although it's an accurate number, you'd actually have to take a look at it and make a determination exactly what it means.
Thank you. What are your thoughts about a citizen review board?
Building public trust and maintaining public trust is the cornerstone of successful policing and professional law enforcement services. The police department and the police chief definitely have to be concise, they have to be clear, they have to be transparent, and we have to be willing as police officers and the law enforcement to admit that sometimes police misconduct does occur. I believe that the Citizen Review Board is a decision to be made by the City Council and the City Fathers, and if the City Council decided that we were going to have a Citizen Review Board, I would do everything within my power to make it as successful as I possibly can. I have a very strong history involving professional standards and internal affairs. I actually teach on this subject to police chiefs and deputy chiefs of police within the state of Illinois, and we talk about a lot of these issues as to how can we make sure that the community trust is being built. Mm-hmm. However, there are a couple of issues that needs to be said about citizen review boards. They don't always necessarily work, and I talk about recently I read an article about a citizen review board complaint in Urbana that did not appear to be resolved to the people's liking. I also point out that when Phil Klein was the superintendent of Chicago, he actually moved to fire 29 police officers from his force during his tenure, and the citizen police board only authorized terminating 7 of those officers. So if we're going to have citizen review, we have to make it effective. We have to make it work the right way. But I would hope that there's other ways that we can do it by the police department being much more open with the public, being transparent and explaining the police processes and exactly why we do things in a certain way.
Thank you. How do you feel about a residency requirement for officers?
This is a topic that's brought up in a lot of locations, and the first issue that I have with having an absolute residency requirement is you tend to limit your possible candidate pool. The question that I always like to ask is, are you looking to get the best police officers for the city of Champaign, or are you looking to get the best police officers that are willing to live in Champaign? Those can be two different things. I believe that you need to take a look at residency. Champaign is a fine city. It's a place that I would be proud to call home. But there are some people that have children in schools, maybe in Urbana, maybe in Rantoul or one of those other cities, and it may not be conducive for them to move, at least initially. And my focus as police chief working with the Fire and Police Commission is for us to be able to get the best police officers for the city of Champaign. And I would like to do that without any precursors to it.
Thank you. There have been several high-profile police incidents over the last few years that have created concern in the community. These include an incident involving the use of pepper spray and a shooting death by an officer. What steps will you take to reduce community anger, fear, and to repair the harm done to police-community relations?
That's a one-word answer for me, and that's communication. You have to communicate with the community. We as police officers, police chiefs, can't be afraid to tell the truth. We have to be willing to stand up for integrity and have a strong police culture that values accountability. However, there are ways that we can include the community to explain to them what the police processes are involved. We could, for example, in our use of force training, we could certainly involve community leaders, community residents, some in the media, and actually have them come to some of our defensive tactics trainings. Let them understand exactly what trainings we're going to go through, when it's appropriate for us to be able to use force, and when it's not appropriate for us to use force. But on the other side, when we do use force inappropriately, we have to be willing to stand up and say we made a mistake. We have to hold our people accountable, and I would discipline the officers if they are using force when it's inappropriate.
Thank you, candidate. Tell us about successful interactions, experiences, or programs that you've been involved with that make you confident that you can earn respect and build trust with community youth.
I've been involved in a variety of aspects. Most of it was when I was with the Aurora Police Department, dealing with youth in a variety of ways. We've had police officer interactions. We've mm-hmm. had a police athletic league type of events. We've had midnight basketball programs. One of the things that I did do was work with the City of Aurora Youth Department when I was a commander on the east side of Aurora. We actually had a gymnasium. My secondary police building was actually an old Catholic high school, and so we had a full gymnasium available to us. I worked with the youth department with the City of Aurora, and we brought programs into the police facility, into our secondary building there, mm-hmm. and provided midnight basketball programs and other types of physical activities that we could conduct in the gym during that time. I also believe that the school resource officer program can be a vital program to help us deal with youth and talking with youth. Those people remember their school resource officers for their entire life. It's important for us to make sure those school resource officers are some of our best officers, because they're going to impact those kids for life.
Thank you, Candidate Anderson. What should be the standard criteria for the use of force policy, and what type of training is needed to ensure that officers apply force properly?
The general and the quick summary for me to explain this is what a reasonable police officer would do at that time. We have the right to employ force when we feel it's necessary, and we have the right to employ force to overcome any force that's being used against us. But the officer has to make, no two situations are exactly the same. So what we tend to base our decision on is what's reasonable for that police officer based on those on the criteria at time. Mm-hmm. We are not allowed to go back in hindsight, per se, and we can only look at what the officer had, what information he had at that time. The training that should go into that should be regular and extensive. We should be involved with defensive tactics training. We should have ongoing training. We should be reviewing with the police officers on a regular basis at roll call. Here's defensive tactics situations that we're going to have. How would we handle this? We should be going over the use of force policy. We should make it very clear. If the use of force policy is not clear for every police officer in the police department, that's a failure of management to do that and leadership to do that. If every police officer doesn't understand where the use of force policy comes in, that's the fault of the police chief and the police leadership. And we have to make sure that they understand what's allowable and what's not.
Thank you. This is your final question. Would you support implementation of cultural and linguistic training as part of the department's training plan?
Absolutely. I've worked with the Illinois Commission on Diversity and Human Relations, specifically with the Aurora Police Department, and together we developed and brought to the Aurora Police Department a program for cultural competency. Cultural competency is more than just cultural diversity training for police officers. It's actually taking a look at all the programs that we work with, all the policies, the way that we do business. Are there ways there that are maybe insensitive or maybe read wrong by a variety of communities? And how can we make it more effective so that we can be more open and inclusive? So I have a history of actually already doing this very, very clearly and succinctly, and I would and that program that I used in Aurora, I would certainly consider having the commission involved with Champaign if the need is there to have them bring that down, because it was very successful.
Thank you, Candidate Anderson. At this time, we would like to invite you to provide us with 2 minutes closing remarks.
Thank you very much. I'd just like to say I'd like to thank the City of Champaign and the residents of Champaign. I would like to say that this process that you guys have put us through has been very thorough, has been very clear to us as to what the ground rules have been, but it's also been very community involved. I think that goes a long way, starts talking about the professionalism that you have in the city government. They want to get this right. I realize that this is a big opportunity for the community. The police chief is one of the most visible city figures that there is out there. Everybody has a stake in proper law enforcement services, and the city really deserves to be credited for doing a very good job in doing that. And if I am selected to be the police chief, I do not hesitate to tell you that I will bring a lot of passion, a lot of hard work, and a lot of hours to do the very best that I can to serve the residents of Champaign. Thank you.
Thank you, Candidate Anderson. At this time, we would like to welcome Candidate Antoinette Villa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening.
The mic is on. You have opening remarks.
Good evening. First of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity to participate in this process. It's been very interesting so far. I know you want to know a little bit about me, my resume and bio. Apparently we're in your newspaper. Everybody in St. Louis knows about it already. Can't have any secrets. But I've been around law enforcement for 38 years plus. I've been in every division of the St. Louis Police Department where I've spent my whole career. I've been in very diverse communities, very depressed areas, very affluent areas. There isn't a department or a unit in the police department that I haven't been in charge of or in command of. I've been the district commander in several districts. I have been the commander of internal affairs. I've been the director of the academy. I've been the secretary to the Board of Police Commissioners. And if you don't know about St. Louis and Kansas City are unique that we're run by the state. We're the only two cities in the country that are run by the state. Everybody else is run by their city. So the governor appoints four citizens to sit on our Board of Police Commissioners. And they come up with policy, develop the policy for the police department, but they don't run the police department. So it's very unique in that sense. And I was a liaison, excuse me, between the Board of Police Commissioners and the chief at the time. So I had that position for 2 years, and you really get to know the operations of the police department politics, state politics, city politics. So I've had a very well-rounded career. I'm very proud of what I've done in St. Louis, and I always tell everybody, don't be in one place too long. You get stagnant. You get bored. You need to develop your career, and the only way you can do that is to move around the department in various divisions in that. So I'm happy to be here. I look forward to the presentation tonight, the questioning and that. So hopefully you'll like what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. What in your background, Candidate Villa, prepares you to be the Champaign Chief of Police?
Well, I think as I just said, my various assignments throughout the 38 years I've been in law enforcement, I've been in units where we've developed budgets, where we've developed grants, where we have taken control of problems and issues that we need to work with the community in. I've been in, like I've said, in North St. Louis, which is a very depressed area, where the citizens in that area felt that the police department had neglected them and felt that the city had neglected them. They didn't have any services from the city, and they felt that the police department didn't care about them. It was a very big challenge up there because they didn't trust the police. The policemen didn't like it. It was considered and excuse my language, but it was considered the dumping ground of the police department. If we had issues with officers and they needed to be disciplined in that, they would push them into the 8th District. So the citizens were very upset about that type of a reputation. So I was there for 6 or 7 years, and it took quite a few years to change the reputation, to build that trust and respect in the community, so that the community trusted us to make sure that the officers did their job. By the time that I left that district, I had officers that were asking to go to that district, and it wasn't considered a dumping ground anymore. And I think it was because everybody treated everybody with respect. There was a lot of communication. We built friendships. We built partnerships. We built relationships. We worked with city agencies to get things done. We worked with the federal government, specifically the U.S. Attorney's Office, on a weed and seed program, a ceasefire program, and it all took cooperation between not only the citizens but the police officers and all the city agencies and federal agencies.
Thank you. What will you do to change and improve relationships and trust between the department and the African-American community?
Well, to get change, you need communication. And I think most cities and communities that have issues with the relationship between the police and community and racial divide and that is because of lack of communication and lack of respect. So I've always, in the 38 years I've been on the police department, I've always made a point of going to community meetings so I could get to know the community and they could get to know me. Everybody's free to voice their opinion. We'll listen to anything. I don't go into a community and tell you what your problems are because what's important to me may not be important to you, and you're the community, you're the citizens. I want to hear what you think your problems are and not what I tell you they are. And then we'll work together to solve those issues. It's not me solving them or you solving them or the officers working on it. It's all of us working together to solve the issues.
Thank you. Explain your understanding of the Federal Secure Communities Program and your opinion of this initiative.
The Secure Communities
Program.
I'm not real familiar with it, but what I understand about it is similar to the stabilization programs that we've had in St. Louis to try to stabilize neighborhoods and prevent retaliation by individuals when we have homicides and that. We work very closely with the Minister's Alliance with our homicides and assaults and that to try to prevent the circle of violence, to make the community safer for everybody, to give you the quality of life that you expect and that you want in your neighborhood so that you can live there safely or work in a safe environment. So we work very closely with stabilizing the neighborhoods and getting everybody involved and making sure that our children are safe. We have a lot of, I've worked in a lot of programs with juveniles because they are our future. They're the future of the police department. They're the future of the city. They're the future of the state. They're the future of every community. So our youth are very important, and we need to develop a learning environment for them in the schools, which isn't always the case. Some of our schools have a lot of violence, mm-hmm. and so for them to learn, they have to feel safe in their communities and in their schools. So to do that, we have to work with them to make sure that they become vibrant adults and good citizens. And that's all part of stabilizing the neighborhood, caring for neighborhoods, having everything safe for everyone.
Thank you, candidate. How important is it to rebuild the morale of the police department?
Morale is very important. Every agency goes through a period where morale is low or it gets mm-hmm. it's diminished. And in fact, it's usually over some incident that's happened between the community and the police department, and officers don't feel like the police department reacted in the proper way, so morale will go down, or if they haven't had a pay raise in many years, and lately that's difficult with the economy the way it is. So to build morale, we really have to talk to the officers, and when there's change, you have to explain to them why there's change, what change we're doing, how it's going to benefit them, how it's going to benefit the police department, how it's going to benefit the community. And the only way you can boost morale is to actually care about officers, care about what happens to them, care about that they have a life outside the police department, that it's not 24 hours as a police officer, but they have a family to take care of. And if you treat the officers with respect and treat them as human beings, treat them fairly, which a lot of times the upper command of the police department doesn't treat everybody fairly, but I've found that if you treat everybody fairly, that they'll do just about anything for you.
Thank you. African Americans make up 16% of the driving public in Champaign, Candidate Filler. The 2010 Illinois Department of Transportation report shows that they comprise 34% of all stops in Champaign. How would you address the apparent racial disparity in traffic stops?
I think every city has that issue, especially in Champaign, but everywhere. And if I was appointed here, the best way to do it, I feel, is to educate the officers. A lot of times when they're considered outlying, and that means that they've had a proportionate amount of racial forms that show that they're stopping more African Americans than whites. They don't understand that they don't think they've done that. So unless you sit down and talk to them and show them what they've done and how the numbers look, they don't actually realize that they are doing that intentionally or unintentionally. So it all goes back to education, educating the officers, mm-hmm. making sure they know the parameters of racial profiling, making sure they know the law, know why they can stop people, what probable cause is, and that you can't just violate people's rights anytime you want to just because you carry a gun and a badge.
Thank you. What are your thoughts about a citizens' review board?
That topic's come up a lot lately, and again, most cities have issues with internal affairs and complaints and that on police officers. I personally do not think a citizens' review board is anything bad. The police department shouldn't have anything to hide, so if they don't have anything to hide, they shouldn't criticize a citizens' review board. There's many times that the citizens don't understand how we do things. When I was in internal affairs for a couple of years, we looked into getting a citizens review board. We researched it a little bit and found that the cities that did have citizen review boards, that it didn't change the outcome very much. The number of complaints did not increase. The severity of discipline did not increase with the citizens review board. What it did do is make the police department accountable to the city to explain to them why they do things in a certain way and how they do their investigations. And once the citizens review board looked at the complaints and reviewed the reports in that, they understood more why we do things, how we do investigations, how we came up with the results, how we came up with the discipline. So I don't think that citizens review board is a bad thing. I know officers think that as soon as a citizens review board comes in that everybody's going to get fired, and that's not the case. The case is to keep the communication open between the community and the police department so that everything is transparent and they understand why we're doing it and what we're doing, and they have the option to send it back for more in-depth investigation or additional information. So I do not disapprove of a citizens review board.
Thank you. How do you feel about a residency requirement for officers?
I've lived in my city my whole life. I didn't have to, but I did because I love the city. There's two thoughts on it. I don't have a problem with city residency. We had that issue in St. Louis, and it kind of divided the police department. But how I see it is some officers don't want to live in the city, and they use the excuse that it's the public school system, when, in fact, they don't take any effort to try to change it at all. However, they have the option. They don't have to send their children to public school. They can send them to a private school, although it would cost them more, but that would be their choice. And then they should, and I've always said this to the police department, too, we should be working towards helping the Board of Education improve their accreditation. And at the same point, the public school system should also work with us to try to figure out how they can improve it, and maybe we can help them with it somehow. Another reason officers don't like to live in the city because they fear that they're going to arrest somebody and then maybe a couple days later, a month later, they'll be out shopping with their family or eating in a restaurant and run into somebody that they arrested. And they think that that's a terrible thing. Well, that's the community. It doesn't matter where you are. If you're in the city, the county, some muni, you're going to run into people. It's a small world. And just because you arrested somebody doesn't mean that they're going to come up to you and interfere with what you're doing right then. So I don't have a problem with the residency, but those are the two things that I've seen where officers didn't want to live in the city because of those reasons, and I don't think they're viable reasons.
Thank you, Candidate Villa. There have been several high-profile police incidents over the last few years that have created concern in the community. These include an incident involving the use of pepper spray and a shooting death by an officer. What steps will you take to reduce community anger and fear and to repair the harm done to police community relations?
Again, I would go out into the community meetings and educate the community on the process of using pepper spray, tasers, any use of force, and the fact that we tell all our officers to use the least amount and progress from there. Officers also need to be educated because I think when we went to pepper spray and tasers, that the officers are maybe too quick to use those rather than try to de-escalate the situation by a conversation and communicating with the individual. So it goes back to communication between the police department and the citizens, and I think everybody needs to understand the process of using the least amount of force and then continuing upwards from then if there is no reaction by the suspect.
Thank you. Candidate Phila, tell us about successful interactions, experiences, or programs that you have been involved with that make you confident that you can earn respect and build trust with community youth.
I worked with the Northside Community Center at one point for at-risk youth. We had an area that was gang infested, a lot of narcotics, a lot of truancy, a lot of curfew. So we worked with Northside Community Center and we developed a grant where we got money to supply resources to families and juveniles whenever we thought they were at risk. And the officers would, when they would encounter somebody that they thought needed some guidance, instead of taking them to juvenile detention or the juvenile building, they would refer them to the Northside Community Center. And the Northside Community Center had various city agencies on board, and they would provide services to that family and that child. A lot of times it was parenting skills. A lot of time it was tutoring. Any services by the city agencies that were available, mm-hmm. they were given the opportunity to use those. Did that answer it?
Oh, for sure. Thank you. What should be the standard criteria for the use of force policy, and what type of training is needed to ensure that officers apply force properly?
I think it's an ongoing training. You can't just give officers training once. They need to do training every year periodically on the use of force because we do use it quite often, and they have to be educated on the progressive use of it from the least amount to the most serious. A lot of times they get tunnel vision and they forget about the rules and regulations, so you have to remind them, just like anybody else, you have to remind them of rules and regulations. So to get the officers educated, trained properly, and again, make sure the citizens know what we're doing and how we're doing it.
Thank you. This will be your final question. Would you support implementation of cultural and linguistic training as part of the department's training plan?
Yes, I would, because our communities are evolving every day, every week. There's changes going on in every city all the time. I can give you an example of when a few years ago I was in command of a district where we worked with the International Institute a lot on people coming over from Bosnia, and they settled in the district that I commanded. So there were thousands of Bosnians taking up residency in this district, and our officers didn't know the culture. I didn't know the culture. The Bosnians didn't know the American culture. So it was very challenging for me because over in Bosnia, they didn't recognize female leaders. It was very unusual for them. Mm-hmm. So they had to learn our culture, and we had to learn those. So I worked with the International Institute, and we got the public school system to offer some classes for our officers in the district on the Bosnian culture so they would know how to handle incidents when they were involved, some of their people. So we had those classes. We also had some classes on their language, although I don't think the officers developed the language skills like they did learn the cultural skills. And it made the communication between the citizens and our officers a lot better after they had those training classes. So now they've taken over a whole area that used to be very depressed, vacant storefronts and that, and now they've got lots of restaurants, coffee houses, bars. In fact, they took over a dairy, not a farm, but where they process milk and that, mm-hmm. and they redid that with over $1 million, and there's a beautiful back room that has a fireplace, and they offer it to us for free for our meetings and that. So we've come a long way in the community down there.
Thank you. At this time, candidate, we would like to offer you the opportunity or to invite you to provide us with 2 minutes of closing remarks.
Wow, 2 minutes.
Oh, yes.
Well, again, I thank you for this opportunity. It's been an enlightening experience. Like I've said, I've spent 38 years in law enforcement. It's all been in St. Louis. And to come here, it's a great city. Champaign is a very vibrant, energetic city. You have a lot of college students, which keeps everybody busy and keeps you energized in that. I'm to the point where I've done everything I can in St. Louis. I've been in every unit. I'm kind of stagnant now. I'm looking for a new challenge, and I think this is a lovely city. I'd love to be here, and it's halfway between St. Louis and Chicago. My son lives in Chicago. So it would be very convenient. But no, somebody had told me about the community, and I had been here numerous times. My sister did sabbaticals here, so I came down and visited her while she was here. I have friends in Peoria, so I've been here quite a few times. And when I was told about the job opening, I thought, what a great opportunity. What a great place to live and start a new life. So I look forward to it. If you choose me, I do my best for you and work with all of you very closely. Thank you.
Thank you. We have some water.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Get some water, just in case they want water. Yes. No, she's good. I have some. I just want to make sure the candidates have some. At this time, we would like to welcome candidate Kim Johnson.
Thank you.
And you may begin with your opening remarks.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me, and excited to be here to participate in the Chiefs process. Everyone has my resume, of course. It's been on the website and things like that, so everyone knows where I'm coming from and what my history is and things like that. Just want to mention a couple things dealing with some of my strengths that I would bring to the city of Champaign. And the main thing is my community policing background. I started community policing in the city of East Lansing back in the early 90s. We ran that program for a good 10 years, and it was my responsibility to make sure that the whole department was organized and set up in a situation where all the police officers were able to be community policing in our city. And that has been one of my strengths ever since the early 90s, and it's actually a way for us to police East Lansing. It's done a wonderful job for us over the years. Also, my staff development initiatives, I've been spent many years developing our own staff internally. I felt that it's very important for us, although our supervisors get promoted for their skill sets that they bring to the organization, it's also important to develop them to be better leaders as they move up the ranks. So I spent a lot of my time currently and over the last 10 years developing our staff from a sergeant, lieutenant rank with different programs and initiatives to make sure that they have the leadership skill sets that's important for them to be a better manager and better staff supervisor in our organization. And finally, of course, my interpersonal communication skills, I think are one of the strengths that I would bring to the city. Although these kind of forms, you know, may not be the best, and my public speaking may not be the best, but interest and desire to work with individuals on a personal basis, dealing with them individually and listen to their concerns, either staff or community or my bosses and things like that, I feel I have a very strong ethic when it comes to my communication skills when it deals with individuals and addressing their concerns and what's important to them.
Thank you, Candidate Johnson.
You're welcome.
At this time, I'll begin the questions.
Okay.
What in your background, candidate, prepares you to be the Champaign Chief of Police?
It goes all the way back from growing up in Detroit, Michigan, many, many years ago. Just my upbringing, dealing with how my folks raised me, treating people with dignity and respect. I've always was raised that way, and I continue to do that when I'm at my place of work. And, of course, my education experience over the last 30 years at East Lansing Police Department would make me a strong candidate just because of the different divisions I've worked in, my different rank system, and the opportunity to work on different projects that would be extremely beneficial for this city.
Thank you. What will you do to change and improve relationships and trust between the department and the African-American community?
I think, first of all, we have to start out with just getting back into the community. Not too sure how receptive that would be, but I feel that the only way we can to make improvements is for us to get back into community. And being a one person out of 150-person department sounds like a big task, but I need the staff around me to get back into community and listen and communicate to see what's important. And make some efforts and look at some long-term solutions to some problems that they have generated that we may or may not have already addressed. But it's important for us to be open, try and develop a sense of trust with the organization, between the city and also with our staff, making sure that we are in a position to provide a service that's necessary for the community.
Thank you. Explain your understanding of the Federal Secure Communities Program and your opinion of this initiative.
Very limited experience with that, the securities program. We don't have much experience with that in East Lansing. I don't know much about it, but willing to learn and listen and understand it and enforce the laws that's out there in the books and making sure we do it in the proper method and the legal and ethical way of enforcing new laws or laws that are on the books.
Thank you. How important is it to rebuild the morale of the police department?
haven't been with the police department much. I think I meet with them tomorrow morning. I'm not sure where the morale is with the department, but I think any time when a change of leadership takes place, mm-hmm. it's a time for us to get to know each other and one another and see where the morale is. If the morale is a little lower than I would expect, we would basically start building trust with each other, start communicating, starting to put things on the table as I talk about the gray things. It's easy for police to deal with the black and white issues, what's legal and what's not legal, what the laws are. But the gray issues on the table are very difficult to discuss in a command structure. But it's important for us to do that. Sometimes we brush that stuff under the bread plate. And we know it's there, but we don't want to deal with it. But it's important for us to get that stuff from underneath the bread plate and address those issues as leaders within the organization. If they see us working towards a common good and common goals, they will realize that the officers behind us would say that, well, they are serious about what they want to get accomplished. It's high integrity. They want to communicate with one another, and they want to be upfront and personal. And I think sometimes in our organization, we put things that should be addressed a little upfront and personal, and we don't do that enough. So I think the communication piece is critical, being upfront and honest and talking about things that need to be talked about. And I think that will help to get things moving in the right direction.
Thank you, Candidate Johnson.
You're welcome.
African Americans make up 16% of the driving public in Champaign. The 2010 Illinois Department of Transportation report shows that they comprise 34% of all stops in Champaign. How would you address the apparent racial disparity in traffic stops?
I think, first of all, it's an interesting question. First of all, I think my responsibility is with the police department. How is my responsibility to see why is that occurring? And for me to throw on the uniform and work with the officers on the street a little bit, talk to our command staff and seeing what areas they're targeting that may be of an issue for us to be making traffic stops with the disparity higher than the average drivers we have in the city. There may be targeted intersections dealing with high accident crime scenes or where there's been issues, school zones and things like that. So we just have to see what's out there to see what needs to be addressed. If there are issues that it's disproportionate because of how they're stopping them and individuals where they're stopping them at, it becomes my responsibility to dig down deep into that gray area and start talking to them about what's going on and why we're making those stops. I have no problems. If our people are writing stops and making traffic stops because they're speeding and it's like everyone else is doing it, it's just happening to be a person of color and things like that, we still got to do our police work, which is critical. I think it's a growing situation for me. We're trying to understand, you know, what's going on, but address and look at it. If everything's above board, have other people ride with us and see everything's above board. We're targeting certain intersections or neighborhoods because of the community's concern. I have no problem. But if we're just picking on people just to pick on people, that's not how we do business either.
Thank you. What are your thoughts about a citizens review board?
We don't have them in East Lansing. I've been working as a cop there for 30 years. Our community supports the police. We've been very transparent how we do policing in East Lansing. It's a college town, of course. So I'm not in favor of the citizen review board. But from that standpoint, we have to make sure that we just ask for patience and say, give us time or give me time to work with the police department and see where we're at. We may be doing great investigations. We may be covering everything we need to cover, and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Our job is to market ourselves a little bit better, get the information out, to say what we're doing, what we're not doing properly. If that still doesn't work, and you give me some time to try and make our investigation a little more transparent, you're not real happy with it. The boss says we're going to have a citizen review board. We all got bosses, and I have no problem going on that route either. But the education piece, I would hopefully that the citizen review board, we as police officers and the people who are doing our investigations currently in the police department, will help educate the citizen review board they spend time with us, and we have some ground rules of how they investigate also. And then we have added, and they join the investigation part of the when it comes to police conduct or misconduct. And it's not I don't think it's the end of the world or anything like that. It's a growing thing. And I just really quick, we have video cameras in our cars. And years ago, police officers didn't want to be in a police car without they didn't want video cameras in their cars. Now they don't want to be in a car without one, just because it's so important. So, if we're forced to have a citizen review board, we'll make sure we do it and we move forward. And I think as long as we're doing everything the right way, treating people with dignity and respect, we are okay.
Thank you, candidate.
Thank you.
How do you feel about a residency requirement for officers?
I'm not in favor of a residency requirement of our officers. It's difficult to my responsibility as a police chief is make sure that we have the best people we hire to police and service our community. Mm-hmm. And we may have those individuals who come from surrounding communities, and it would be a shame for us to not allow them to still live in their community where they maybe have grown up, where they're comfortable with, but they couldn't work here because they have to live in the city. I'm not in favor of that. I think it's also critical for us to look within our community who may already be here and start developing ways to get people to join our police force who may already live in the city. And that becomes my responsibility, making sure we have a great hiring and recruiting team that's out there looking in the community and getting people who know the community, who wants to police the community, who wants to give back to the community. But I think it's our responsibility to try and identify those individuals and as I call them, hook them in and show how good local law enforcement is and what they can do to provide service to the community.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Candidate Johnson, there have been several high-profile police incidents over the last few years that have created concern in the community. These include an incident involving the use of pepper spray and a shooting death by an officer. What steps will you take to reduce community anger and fear and to repair the harm done to police community relations?
It's a big challenge. Hopefully it's a group effort. I will bring my energy and resources to give back with the community, address their concerns, making sure I have staff with me at all times where people can see more faces of the police department besides just myself, open up dialogue, and get back into the community where we're actually doing more problem solving and become a little more transparent. I don't like this one of those cliche words, of course, that's out there right now, but we just have to be more open to our community and show what we do and so people have a better understanding of what we do day in, day out. I think the repairing of those relationships, we have to spend some time building trust with one another. Mm-hmm. And they get to know me a little bit, and they get to know the organization a little bit. We get to know the community a little bit more. And the more we're around and trying to make a difference, hopefully they realize that our department's going to do what's right, do the best that we can, and treat others with dignity and respect. And those are the three platforms that I will bring to Champaign. That's what I live by. And if our people can't live by those, we have some issues there. But if we're doing things right and we treat people with dignity and respect and we're doing the best way we can, we'll be okay. I think the community will start seeing that we're doing the right thing. And I think it's important for us to get that, I call it marketing, get that back out into the community, let them know that we're serious about making sure we work together as in this community and not against each other. It doesn't work that way.
Thank you. Candidate Johnson, tell us about successful interactions, experiences, or programs that you have been involved with that make you confident that you can earn respect and build trust with community youth.
We have a police athletic league up in East Lansing where we deal with the youth in our community, where we have basketball programs and dodgeball programs. We spend time in our neighborhoods with small groups. We're in our schools, mm-hmm. Which has done a great job for us and the community. And the one thing that we try and do is we just try and be available, and we try and do things that the community we do it for granted, but sometimes the community doesn't know about it. Just the regular programs we put on, crime prevention programs, things like that, shop with a cop, things of that nature, where we are always trying to expose ourselves with the youth of the community and showing that we're here as a resource and trying to help everybody and be just a part of the community. That shop with a cop program, we just finished that last weekend, and that's just one of these things that we feel good about ourselves when we're doing something just one day to help and just to build that little small relationship that, you know, we got kids too, and we just want to help out and buy some toys and buy some Christmas presents for something else. So those kind of small programs have been good for us, and I've been part of those type of programs that will help show some stuff dealing with the youth. I spend a lot of time on my volunteer hours dealing with a lot of youth in out of the Detroit area. It's just volunteer time. It's not police related, but it's a great organization for me to be a part of and give back to the community.
Thank you, Candidate Johnson. What should be the standard criteria for the use of force policy, and what type of training is needed to ensure that officers apply force properly?
It's important for us to have continuous use of force training. It's critical for us to go over the policies and procedures, review the policy and procedures every year, making sure we cover everything and our officers and our staff understand what they can and cannot do in that use of force policy. It's funny, in my use of force, we go through use of force training 3 times a year up in East Lansing. One time a year, we sit in the room and we have to read the policy and procedure out loud. So I feel like I'm in fourth grade, but we got to read a book out loud. But we all have to read certain paragraphs until we get through the whole policy. It's like a 12-page document that we do, but we knew it and we learned it. But we feel it's very confident. We have tasers in East Lansing. We deploy them in a proper manner because our use of force instructors are the best, we think, in Michigan. They do a wonderful job of getting us trained, telling us how we need where our issues are, and telling us what our parameters and when we can and cannot use a particular use of force. And it's been a wonderful issue. So at the proper training, strong guidelines that everyone understands, and consistent message that we will use what's necessary to affect the arrest or things like that.
Thank you. This will be your final question. Would you support implementation of cultural and linguistic training as part of the department's training plan?
I used to teach cultural diversity to law enforcement in Michigan many years ago, and that cultural diversity training is good to one part, but it's not good in another part, because sometimes I ran into a lot of resistance that we go to, a 2-day training of cultural diversity. They learn cultural diversity, and after 8 hours or 16 hours, okay, that was great, and they go back and they still do what they've been doing, being goofballs or whatever else. But it's important. I think training is important. It's nice to have it, nice foundation, but we have to develop a culture in an organization where we just start respecting one another, no matter what the race is, but we just have to learn and get to know each other so we can just have a respect for one another, and the color thing just goes away. And then they don't have to worry about any training, because they just treating our neighbors like anybody else, or treating someone in the street like anybody else. And it's that's on-the-job training sticks a little closer to home instead of an 8-hour or 16-hour training. So not to disregard training, but it's not the cure-all. And I've seen it for many, many years in East Lansing, and it's far from the cure-all. It just has to be a belief how we want to treat our community. And that's the critical part for us to do and try and understand. It'd be my responsibility to try and develop that culture in the organization where we just start treating everyone with dignity and respect. It starts with me, the command staff, and all the way down to the one-year cadet who's working the front desk.
Thank you. At this time, we would like to invite you to provide us with 2 minutes of closing remarks.
Thank you.
Sure.
Just once again, thank you. Thank you for the council member and city manager for inviting me down to participate in this last group of candidates. I just want to say that for the city manager and for the council to have this open forum for the community, council and the city manager, Mr. Carter, they are concerned about this community. The four candidates up here that you saw today, we're concerned about the community, because if we weren't concerned, we'll be back home, you know, watching TV or watching the basketball game on TV, whatever, tonight. So the four candidates are concerned about the community. They want to make a difference when whoever gets here. So I think that's important, seeing the people in the room and the people on TV who gets to watch this thing for, like, next 2 weeks. They are concerned because they want to make sure that the next chief is going to be a part of the community and make sure that the police department is part of the community, and that would be the job and responsibility of the police chief. And I feel that's important, and I have those qualities. I think I can not necessarily rally the troops, but we can work together and make sure we are part of the community just like anybody else. I feel a little disappointed when the police think they're separate from the planning department or somewhere else, the DPW department, and that doesn't work in my book. We all work for the city, and it's important for us to start thinking about that. And that would be my role, and that's the chief's role.
Thank you, Candidate Johnson.
Thank you.
Please join me in one more round of applause for all of our police chief finalists. Thank you. I would like to thank each of the candidates for sharing their thoughts and ideas with us this evening. I would also like to once again thank the host agencies for working with the city to provide this important opportunity for the public to get to know our chief candidates. I would like to take a brief moment to thank our timekeepers for all of their help this evening, Michelle Cooper on the left and Carol Rebays. Finally, I would like to remind everyone that the city will continue to air a rebroadcast of this evening's meeting on CGTV, Comcast Cable Channel 5, through December the 22nd. The meeting will also be able to be seen on the city's website at www.ci.champaign.il.us/CGTV. Thank you for coming. Have a safe trip home, and good night.